Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
God loves stories. In fact, the Bible is one big story of God at work, drawing people into a relationship with him. And it's filled with many stories of Bible characters and how God worked in their lives and how he used them for his purposes. There are many stories of God at work with people, and then that great story of God becoming human to die in our place, to pay our death penalty, and to give us new life and forgiveness and righteousness that enables us to have a sure hope of a future with God. In the meantime, we're all living our stories. Lynette and I are looking forward to hearing yours, but this morning we'll share some of ours. We want you to know who we are, at least a little bit, maybe enough for you to ask some questions of us. We want to share our story. We'll share some facts about where we've been and what we've done, some of our key experiences as well. And so may it encourage you.
Acts 17:26 says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." So God determines where we should live. In our years together, we have lived in Sexsmith, Edmonton, Valley View, Provost, Carsland, Edmonton, Fort St. John, Charlie Lake, Valley View, and Grand Prairie. And we have felt God lead us each step of the way. Andy and I believe that God has guided us, even right to this church, at this time, for this season.
But before all that, I grew up in Presbyteau, and then Fort St. John, and even in Sexsmith for a little bit. When I was in grade 4, 5, and 6, my dad attended at PRBI, so we lived in Sexsmith for a bit. I became a child of God when I was about 7 years old. I wanted to make sure that I was headed to heaven if something was to happen to me. I had this fear that our house would burn down, and we had this heating stove that made a lot of noise at times, and I was sure at night that it was going to burn the house down. So this one evening, I couldn't fall asleep. I kept thinking about what the pastor had preached about on the last Sunday, about heaven and hell. And I was not sure that I was going to heaven. So I remember my dad coming and talking with me and praying with me as I surrendered my heart to Jesus, and then I could go to sleep. This reminds me of some of my favorite verses, Romans 5, verse 7 and 8, where it says, "Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." I was baptized when I was about 16 years old, and I've tried to follow God all my life.
I became a Christian when I was 3 or 4 years old. And I remember my brother and I telling my dad the next morning that the angels had had a party the night before because we had decided to join his family. I was baptized when I was 14. So if you remember the ages of Andy, the ages of me, you can tell I learned quicker than he does.
I was raised in the church. We went every Sunday. I heard all the Bible stories in Sunday school. When I was older, I had a great experience in a youth group. I loved camp. Probably some of you do too, right? I attended Camp Sagatawa near Chetwynd as a camper, and then as a junior staff, as a counselor, and then program director 1 year. And as I served there, I realized that I wanted to serve God with my life. I wanted to help others to come to know Jesus. After graduation, I worked at Zellers for a year before heading off to PRBI. Anyone remember Zellers?
I'm a pastor's kid, and I was born in Peace River when my parents were the pastor couple at Grimshaw Alliance Church. When I'm asked where is home, I usually just say Alberta, because we moved around a lot. And my parents lived the longest in Hinton, but I didn't live there as long as they did. So to me, that would be home, but they don't live there anymore, so it's not really home anymore. I learned early on in about grade 2 that we kind of lived in a fishbowl. I learned that everybody watched what we did, and we were rated on how good we performed or whatever. There was a girl when I was in about grade 2. She had asked her mom, can I chew gum in church? Because Lynette can. And recently I worked with a group of people who were constantly watching what I did and what I said. And one of my teammates said to me, I've never seen a good marriage relationship until I've seen you and Andy. So people are really watching us.
So I went to PRBI with the intention of becoming a full-time camp director. I loved working at camp and wanted to be in full-time ministry. But God had a different plan. A few years into my four-year Bachelor of Religious Education in Christian Education, I was challenged by the president, Reuben Quill at the time, to do some preaching in the area. Lynette and I even went up to Nampa a few times for me to preach and her to play piano. Then Mr. Quill asked if I might want to do a pastoral internship in Provost. At that point, I'd only taken one preaching course, but I thought I might as well do it as it would help me finish some of my Christian education internship requirements. Now, you might remember some of this, some of you that are older, how churches always had a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening service, right? And so I'm in the middle of my internship, in the middle of a hot summer Sunday evening, preaching to this handful of people that were faithfully coming on Sunday evening. I'm preaching through Philippians, I remember that. And then just having this sense, I could do this all my life. And that just seemed to be my call to ministry, because I soon changed directions and didn't just finish my Christian education degree, but also started working on the pastoral degree requirements as well.
Andy and I started dating in my second year at PRBI. I was there for a three-year biblical studies degree, and he was there for a four-year degree. So because he started before me, we would graduate together. Dating at PRBI when we were there is a little different than what they are doing now. We were limited in the number of off-campus dates we could have, and there was to be no public displays of affection. But yet somehow we still managed to fall in love. Oh, yeah. It was at PRBI that I was told that my favorite song was, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. So life progresses, we do homework, we do whatever, and it is now Friday the 13th, April 1990. It was Good Friday, and Andy and I were heading to my home in Hinton for a groundbreaking service for the Alliance Church there. My parents were instrumental, they're church planters, so they started that church, and now it was time to build a building. I wanted to be there for it. It was a big event for my family, and I didn't want to miss. People say that girls take a really long time to get ready, but let me tell you, that Friday, it was not me that was slow. I was waiting for him to show up because I wanted to pack my car with boxes of stuff because we were graduating soon and I wanted to take stuff home, and he doesn't show up. I haul everything from upstairs down to the door. He still doesn't show up. So then I proceed to move my car and I load my car with boxes. Finally, after the car is loaded, he shows up. So I was not very impressed. We stopped and got gas and headed out. Between Fox Creek and White Court, there was a campground close to Chickadee Creek, and Andy pulled over there. He said he had something for me. He pulled out this little pink basket that had jelly beans in it, and he gave it to me. And apparently, this is why he was so late, because he had to build this little basket still. I had a jelly bean or two, then lifted out the little paper confettis that were in there, and underneath there was a burgundy box. I opened the lid, and there was a ring. Yada, 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 yada. I agreed to marry him. Then when we got to my parents' place, I, of course, showed off my ring and got hugs. My dad then said to my mom, now do you understand why I was so distracted this morning? My dad, a pastor, had to lead a Good Friday service, and he didn't take his Bible. Andy had called him the night before and had asked him not to tell my mom so that I could tell her. Sunday morning at church, my dad and I announced our engagement, and we enjoyed celebrating with the congregation. Monday at school, as I was walking outside the dorm, I looked up, and there underneath my window was this big sign about that Andy and Lynette are engaged. Now, I was an RA leader, so I was in charge of overseeing this group of girls in the dorm, and they had come to me and asked me, Lynette, can I be borrowing your markers? Yeah, sure. Gave them my markers. Yeah, and they used them to make this big sign and hang it out the window. We both graduated in April of 1990 and were married in October of the same year. And we moved back to Sexsmith so that Andy could complete his pastoral degree as well. He graduated again in April of 1991 with a Bachelor of Theology degree, the first person to ever graduate with that degree from PRBI, as I had to make it so that he could graduate again. Andy started his Associate Pastor of Youth position at Melbourne Alliance Church in Edmonton in the spring of 1991.
Let me just give you a little fun story from our time as we were in Sexsmith at that point. After we married, we moved to Sexsmith to live in this tiny little trailer. Some of you might remember trailers there. This tiny little trailer on campus at PRBI. Lynette found a job working for the town. And I took one independent course, planning then in January to do a full semester to finish my pastoral requirements for my second degree as well. So I had some time on my hands. I thought, I'll bake bread. Can't be that hard. Some of you are snickering already. Okay. So I had a recipe. I followed it exactly, I'm sure. And I baked this loaf and I put it on the counter and it just went thud. It was solid. I mean, solid. So I thought, okay, well, it can't be that hard. I'll try again. I went through the whole recipe. I tried everything just perfectly. Thud. So that was my success in baking bread. Now, here's the weird thing, though. So then Lynette's work had a Christmas party. And here I am sitting around the table with all these ladies discussing why my bread didn't work. So I thought that was kind of weird. But I did make bread pudding out of it. And actually, it was pretty good.
We'd been married just over 2 years when our first daughter, Terrell, arrived. And then 22 months later, our other daughter, Ranelle, joined our family. The girls became part of our youth group, and the teens loved hanging out with them and pushing them around in the stroller as fast as they possibly could on the cement floor in the basement of the church. They had fun. This mama, not so much. One fall when they were still preschoolers, we wanted to get Terrell some skates. We went shopping. Skates were just way too expensive and out of our price range. We had lunch at the mall. We prayed. Terrell asked God to give her some cheap skates. We continued shopping. We found a pair of skates for her for $5. So, yeah, we knew and she knew that God had provided for us.
While we began in Edmonton, most of our ministry has been in smaller places and smaller churches. We finished up our time in Edmonton and moved to Valley View, where we became the pastor family of the Lions Church there. From there, we moved to Provost, then to Carsland, serving in the Lions churches in these towns. As we have moved from place to place, God's call to Abraham has been a bit of a guide for us. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Abram did not get a map or GPS coordinates for where he was going. He had not been there before. He just trusted God for the next step of his journey. We have trusted God with our moves a little like Abram, calling them our adventures. And when our girls were young, we kept pointing to this story, how God guided Abraham to a place he didn't know and hadn't been to before. And so at times we moved to places we'd never been before.
When our daughter Terrell was in grade 8, she got really sick. She had been a pretty healthy kid, I mean, little incidences here and there, but in grade 8 she lost her ability to walk and her ability to feed herself. An ambulance ride from Provost to Camrose to see the pediatrician and then to the Stollery Hospital resulted in us seeing how good of a healthcare system we had. After they ruled out horrible things like meningitis and brain tumors, they were stumped. She was put into isolation, and in order to visit, you had to gown up and wear a mask. They discovered that she had something called walking pneumonia. Now, it is a real thing. It sounds kind of bizarre, but Andy didn't trust them, so he had to look it up, and it was real. She was discharged with antibiotics, but we weren't home very long, and her symptoms became worse, so we went back to the Stollery. I remember laying down one night to sleep in her room on the couch and crying out to God, "I can't take this anymore." And he just washed over me with his peace. I felt relief and I slept.
Nathanael in John 1:46 said about Jesus, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" I'm not sure if you've ever felt that about places you've lived, but we were in some places, Carsland, one of those, where that was kind of the case. Can anything good come out of Carsland? Because we had moved to Carsland, a community east of Calgary and south of Strathmore, when our girls were in junior high. It was a community of about 600 people, but there was an Alliance Church there. the only church in the community and the area. Our girls were bussed to Strathmore for school. Now, Carsland had such a bad reputation that when our girls pulled off some really good grades, Rennell actually ended up being valedictorian when she graduated. They were good kids, had good grades. The teacher was so surprised, they said, "You can't be coming from Carsland." They actually made comments about that.
We dug into that community and we tried to be a part of things. Andy joined the Lions group and he was part of the Egg Society that looked after the community buildings and basically ran our little town. He was even president of it for a while. I began teaching piano. I got hired by Canada Post to work in their local post office as a fill-in. And when Rennell was in grade 12, I started setting up a preschool. The church grew and we hosted a yearly Easter Sunday event for the community. Hundreds of people would come to this event. It was very exciting. Both of our girls excelled in school and were in Alberta's high school honor bands. They graduated from Strathmore High. Terrell then went to Cape and Ray on Thetis Island, and Rennell went to Tyndale in Toronto. After completing 1 year of Bible school, Terrell went to Vancouver Film School for 2 years. In that time, she had two bikes stolen, she was mugged, got bed bugs twice, and had a mouse that used her boarding room as a little highway to get from A to B. She named the mouse, but I don't remember his name. When Rennell finished her year in Toronto, she got to experience a Raptors game, she got to be part of a live TV audience, and of course did homework and went to coffee shops, etc. She moved to Edmonton, attended King's University, and graduated from there with a degree in English and philosophy. She worked as a children's coordinator at a Baptist church and started working on her master's degree at the University of Alberta. Meanwhile, while all this is happening, things in the church in Carsland started to have some bumps. The bumps grew bigger. And eventually, it ended in us leaving the church and the area, all because people chose to believe lies rather than truth. We moved to Edmonton, where my family is, and eventually moved into a rental house that my brother had. I worked at Michael's, started at 3 a.m. in the morning, unloading the truck, and then I stocked shelves. Andy started driving a school bus in Edmonton. He had a very long route with some very rambunctious kids. Sometimes I would be in bed before he got home from his route. I was up and out the door before he was up in the morning. We did this for several months, barely having anything to talk about with each other, as we were operating in different worlds, with very different people, and with very different routines. We realized how easy it would be to no longer have a desire to remain married or to want to work on a relationship. We had nothing in common. This was a good thing for us to experience, but also a hard thing.
After about a year, we were on the move again, and so this time out of the province into a different denomination. I was asked to pastor a church in Fort St. John that was part of the Christian Mennonite Conference. This conference was the same denomination as the Evangelical Church of Presbyterian that my parents had been part of planting many years ago. So many of the people from Presbyterian were moving into Fort St. John for various reasons, and they were coming then to this church. And because I knew the Presbyterian culture and knew Mennonite culture, the board thought, well, this would be a great fit. But then 2 years in, unfortunately, we parted ways as we recognized that we had some very different ideas about how to welcome unbelievers into church. Lynette had a good job, and her coworkers convinced her to stay while working until I found something else. So we moved out of town into her boss's guest house on her property, and Lynette continued to work. So we finished with the church we were serving in Fort St. John and needed to find a church to attend. We have realized that finding a new church is not the easiest thing to do, and maybe some of you have had to do that, and you realize that it's a bit of a process sometimes. But we did look around. We checked out quite a few churches and ended up in Evangel, a Pentecostal church. We spent a year with them, and it was clear that God led us there. It was there that we first took in the Hearing God seminar from Church Renewal in Steinbeck, and where we experienced people having freedom and joy in the Spirit, where they were listening to God and hearing Him. Well, this was life-changing for us. And so I will do some preaching on hearing God, because I feel it's so wonderful that we can talk with God and expect Him to speak to us. Hearing Him is key to a relationship with Him.
Amen.
In 1 Kings 19, 12 to 13, Elijah was waiting for the voice of the Lord. Some of you might know the story. First, there was a windstorm, and God wasn't in that. There was an earthquake, and God wasn't there. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" To hear God's voice changes a believer's life from just knowing about God to having a conversation with this God that we have a relationship with. Now, most of my hearing God experiences have been that still, small voice in my mind, but not all of them.
We have some dear friends who had a major surprise one day when the husband was served with a restraining order by one of his adult kids. This led to going to court, no sleep, and endless worry as to what this child could possibly be thinking. This went on and on, with the child causing havoc in the community and the parents being blackballed from their friends at church. They were in so much pain. All we could do was listen, cry with them, give them hugs, send notes in the mail, and pray. This was still going on when our time at the church we served in Fort St. John was up. I kept working. Andy applied for lots of pastoral positions, but didn't get one. No job came out of that. Andy became a substitute school bus driver while we waited to see what God had for us next. The something else that showed up for us was this couple asking if Andy would come drive truck for their business. They had gotten to the point that they didn't want to be in their house by themselves, as they had no idea what their kid would do or when the cops would show up. The husband calls us their babysitters. The neat thing about this was that through all of this grief, their grief, our grief, we could encourage each other. Our friends encouraged us to use our pain to help other pastoral couples get through theirs. We encouraged them to keep praying for this child, and we would pray together.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Well, we've come up with a number of plans on our own, but God has his plans, right? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a doctor.
He's got the handwriting.
Yeah, so I'm partway there. When I went to Bible school, it was with the thought of being a camp director, a full-time camp director. During my time at PRBI, I was wondering for a while if I was to be a missionary to South Africa, actually. And God very clearly told me that he wanted me to be a pastor, and I've enjoyed that for the most part. When we finished in the church in Fort St. John, I was applying to all kinds of churches, thinking that God wanted me to continue to be a pastor. But then God made it clear that he was setting up something else. As we were praying, both Lynette and I were kind of getting the sense that God was saying, "Wait, wait." And after a while, it seemed like God was saying, "I'm doing something new, something different." And we're waiting. What's next, God? I think you've called me to be a pastor. Now where are we supposed to be? With the advice of the friends already mentioned and the direction of the Holy Spirit, God made it clear that he wanted us to help churches. I remember writing in my prayer journal, asking if God wanted me to help churches instead of pastoring a church. I asked God to make it plain. I think even underlined it in my prayer journal, plain. That day I was driving on the highway when I passed a Plains petroleum truck. Okay. A little later, I passed another, and somehow in my mind, I'm thinking, "Plain, okay." By the time I passed the third Plains petroleum truck, it was like God was saying, I'm trying to make this plain to you. You are to help churches. Interestingly, I've driven that road quite a few times since then, and I think I may have seen one Plains petroleum truck. God did that for me. No, maybe they had a job they had to do, but anyway, it was good for me.
The job with our friends was finished, and we were willing to move wherever one of us could get a job. I applied for jobs in different places, Andy applied for jobs in different places, and the job he ended up getting was to drive truck for Willie's Trucking out of Grand Prairie. So,
and just a thought with that, I actually delivered chairs for you guys during that time. I don't know if I ever got to meet any of you, but yeah, a few years ago.
So we moved to Grand Prairie. So Andy began taking some church consulting courses and the transitional pastor training. He also completed and received his Master of Arts in Leadership and Ministry degree. And I began working at a postal outlet within walking distance, as we only had one car, and Andy was up and out of the house at, I don't know, 3:30, quarter to 4 in the morning or something like that for his job.
And now God has brought me to this role of being a transition pastor. And we're excited to be serving you over the next year. Now, it's interesting that one of those divine moments of God, and he does some of those in our life, right? My first transition pastor role was with Valley View Alliance Church. You remember that we were there earlier. Well, that was about 20-some years ago that we served them. What you might not know is that I was fired by them. So when they interviewed me for the position at that time, there were three specific things that I said, if this is what you want, this isn't me. I can't do that or that or that. Three things. Okay, well, we still want to hire you. Okay, great. I thought things were going along pretty good until 3 years later, the board listed those three things and said, we don't want you anymore because of those three things. Now, 20-some years later, we were able to go back to that church that fired me and serve them again. Only God would set that up. A few people who were part of the church and even part of the firing were still there, and it was a healing experience for us and them as well. It was good.
We have found ourselves living paycheck to paycheck. We have had some seasons of great hardship. Various people have said, it'll get better. God has something better for you. When one family member said that to me, I said, why do you say that? God has given us food to eat, a place to live. He has promised to provide for our needs, and he has. So why do you think it will get better? I mean, we hope things would change for us too, but God always provided for us.
We saw God provide in amazing ways over the last few years. Maybe you've noticed too that we mostly see God at work when we have hardships in our own lives, right? When life is going good, it doesn't seem like we need God that much. But when we're at the end of our rope and we cry out, then we see him work in mighty ways. In February of, I think, 2023, we were leaving Vanderhoof after a quick visit to my parents when we got caught behind a snowplow. So I'm looking for ways to pass him when all of a sudden we were in a whiteout. I don't know if he had snow on top of his truck or if the wind changed or something, but suddenly I couldn't see anything. I slammed the brakes because I'm thinking, I'm not running into him. And then seconds later, there's this bang, and the pickup behind us slammed into us. When the snow settled, we slowly got out of the car and tried to assess the damage. Our back end of our vehicle was just caved right in. As I stood on the road, checking in with the guy who hit us, he made some comment about not being very religious. I said, well, I am, and thank God the damage wasn't worse, because nobody was too badly hurt. But that began a fun, not so fun, maybe you've had this, long journey with our insurance company and the hassles with that, but God provided. We found another vehicle to purchase. I prayed that God would help us to pay that off in a few months. It was only a matter of weeks before we paid it off, as God gave us a decent payout from insurance. Some unexpected money came in from a few other sources as well.
So we're driving this new-to-us car from Peace River to Grand Prairie. And a deer decided we'd make a really good target. So once again, we're on the side of the road with a car that doesn't work, waiting for a tow truck to come. Now, if you've ever been stuck on that road and you phone AMA, Peace River doesn't answer their phone after 9 o'clock at night. We also discovered that. So we had to wait for a guy from Manning to come down to pick us up, to take us to Grand Prairie. God still looked after us. They repaired the car. We were given numerous rental cars to drive while our car was being fixed because it took them a very long time. And then about a year later, was it even a year later? I don't know.
A year, maybe.
That car got written off as well, because it got hit in a parking lot. Should ask Andy about that story. That's a really good one. So one thing about this transition job is that you know your job is up in 1 year. What's next? There's this constant looking forward. When we're done with Beaver Lodge, what is God going to give us next? Every time we've been at a church in this transition position, God has always been working ahead of us. When we were in Valley View, we're finishing up in Valley View. God rigged things up for us to go to Peace River Alliance. When we were done in Peace River Alliance, God had it rigged up that we would go to High Level. When we were finishing up in High Level, God had it rigged that we would go to Eaglesham. And now when we were in Eaglesham, God rigged it up and now we're here. So God's always looked after us and has provided for us. And he's also done some coaching with other churches, one in Quesnel and one in Vanderhoof. So in case you think Andy's not busy enough, or that he might get bored working with your church. He's also working on his doctorate degree, and he's about two-thirds done and will graduate next summer, like summer of 2027.
Hopefully. And if you wonder if Lynette gets bored, just ask her about icing cookies or doing nails. So today we live in Grand Prairie. Lynette continues to work part-time in the post office and do lots of other things. Our daughter Renelle lives in Medicine Hat and works at the college there. Our other daughter Renelle lives in Sexsmith and works at Peace Country Memorials.
Terrell.
What did I say?
You said Renelle.
Renelle first lives in Medicine Hat.
Yeah.
Terrell lives in Sexsmith and works at Peace Country Memorials in Rycroft. I'm in the office here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday most of the time. And then every third week of the month, I'll be working with Le Glace Bible Fellowship, helping them out as well. As we wrap up here, I invite the music team to come on up. Just a couple of things. This is our story. Not all of it, but hopefully enough that you have some questions that you can talk to us and ask us, and then we can have some conversation. We look forward to hearing your story. Let us know how we can get together, when we can meet up with you, maybe for some lunch or coffee, or maybe you have an evening free somewhere, or maybe a Saturday you want to have some breakfast or invite us over for brunch. And you might think, all I do is live for food, but it doesn't have to be food. But sometimes having food just makes the conversation go a little easier, I think. But we want to get to know you, and we want to hear what God is doing in your lives, and in the process, hear what God is doing in this church as well. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.